こっちから読むね。And they said to him, disciples of John fast often and offers prayer, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. 34. And Jesus said to them, can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? 35. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. 36. He also told them parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and put it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. 37. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. 38. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. 39. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, the old is good.
ルカによる福音書5章33節から39節を日本語でお読みします。彼らはイエスに言った。ヨハネの弟子たちはよく断食をしており祈りもしています。またパリサイ人の弟子たちも同じなのに、あなたの弟子たちは食べたり飲んだりしています。イエスは彼らに言われた。花婿が一緒にいるのに、花婿に付き添う友達に断食させることがあなた方にできますか。しかしやがてその時が来て、花婿が取り去られたら、その日には彼らは断食します。イエスはまた一つの例えを彼らに話された。誰も新しい着物から布切れを引き裂いて古い着物に継ぎをするようなことはしません。そんなことをすれば、その新しい着物を裂くことになり、なるし、また新しいものを引き裂いた継ぎ切れも古いものには合わないのです。また誰も新しいブドウ酒を古い皮袋に入れるようなことはしません。そんなことをすれば、新しいブドウ酒は皮袋を引き裂き、ブドウ酒は流れ出て皮袋もダメになってしまいます。新しいブドウ酒は新しい皮袋に入れなければなりません。また誰でも古いブドウ酒を飲んでから新しいものを望みはしません。古いものは良いというのです。
Good morning again. You guys doing all right? So last week I got to go to a couple of high school graduations, and I couldn't help but to reflect on my own high school graduation. You guys remember your high school graduation? Really? Yeah. 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, I graduated in 1995. My goodness. It's been 20 years. For you high school graduates, enjoy it. The time flew, huh, Kenji? Kenji, how long ago you graduated high school? 44. Oh my gosh. Wow. Time flies, huh? 20 years ago for myself about, and man, it just flew by. So Josh, enjoy it. Soak it in. Today, we read a story from Luke. This is a story about Jesus and his disciples, to give you a little context of the story. This is towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the Pharisees, they criticized Jesus' disciples. And their criticism was, hey, your disciples aren't fasting. And the Pharisees, they fasted about twice a week. And John's disciple apparently fasted pretty frequently as well. And it seemed like Jesus' disciples weren't fasting. And so the question is, aren't you a religious leader? why aren't you doing religious activities or duties? And Jesus gives them a story, three parables at least. And he talks about wine. Just so I don't confuse anyone here, I'm not really into wine or drinking. That isn't to say I think if you drink, you're a sinner. But when Jesus here talks about wine, he's talking more in spiritual terms. And in Scripture, there's at least three distinct meanings that wine has. At least three. And Jesus, in these parables, they're alluding to him. I'm going to tell you the three off the bat, and I want to talk about the three. And hopefully, as we talk about the three, we will know better what Jesus is trying to say. And also, not just knowing it, but also putting ourselves in position to receiving what Jesus is talking about, a new wine. You guys hear the term new wine before, spiritually speaking? If not, I'll share with you what I believe Scripture is talking about when it talks about wine. Now, the first one you see in the Bible, not the first one, but the first one I want to talk about. The first one you see, when you think of wine, you may think of, what comes to your mind? Let's make this a little interactive today to keep you guys awake. When you think of wine in the church, what do you think of? Communion, good, communion. And so, one of the allusion Jesus talking about is the communion aspect of wine. And the communion aspect of wine is a new covenant. New covenant. Wine here represents a new covenant. What else might you think of when you think of new wine? In Acts chapter 2, the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, and mockingly the crowd says they're filled with new wine. And other places in the Scripture, Paul talks about don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's this aspect that wine, spiritually speaking, is like being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so another aspect other than communion, new covenant, new wine also represents the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the third one is one we might not think about, but wine representing celebration. If you remember, one of Jesus' first signs and miracle was turning water into wine at the wedding banquet in Canaan. And in Old Testament, they talk about a day when the saints will gather together and celebrate with God in a wedding-like celebration, a banquet with the finest of wines. So is there alcohol in heaven, you may be asking? It's a different kind of wine. Not one that gets you intoxicated. Because you don't want to forget in heaven. In heaven, it's something, it's a great place, apparently. never been there yet. Hope to get there. Amen. No? Am I in the wrong meeting? you guys don't want to go to heaven? Okay, you're going. Great. And I hope all of you have that same assurance. But before I talk about these three aspects, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who are mighty, wonderful, strong, awesome, amazing, never too late, never too early. Your timing is perfect, Lord. All of your ways are perfect. I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy over our lives, that we could come together, Lord. And as we come, Lord, to hear about Jesus' teaching about new wine, we pray that we would know and also be able to position ourselves to receive, Lord, what you have in store for each and every one of us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Luke 5:36. He says, he tells them this parable. No one tears a piece of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment and patch, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. And basically, he's giving us an image of a patchwork. When I was a little kid, I used to like running around, and I used to play sports, even as a little kid, with, I guess, reckless abandon. I was really, really good at Foursquare. You guys remember that game, Foursquare? And I was really good at, I wasn't really good at kickball, but, you know, I was really good at this game called Prisoner. You guys remember Prisoner? You guys have that game? No. Prisoner, you get a ball, you play it on a volleyball court, and you call someone's name and you throw it over, and if the ball touches the ground, that person is a prisoner. And so the object of the game is to catch the ball before it falls. I used to slide on my knees to catch the ball. And so every time, I used to have jeans that were torn up, like on the knees, before it was cool. I mean, I had tore up jeans and looked like a rock star, and I didn't even mean to. I didn't even realize I had tore up jeans until one of the teachers one day pointed it out and said, "Hey, why do you wear tore up jeans to school?" And I looked and I said, "Oh yeah, they are tore up." And sometimes my mom used to patch it up and it would look ridiculous. But what here Jesus is talking about a garment, an old garment, and using a new one, cutting up the new one to fix up the old one. And Jesus is saying here, that's not what I came to do. And what he meant to say is, I'm not bringing a Jewish religion. Although he was Jewish, and although he grew up Jewish. He's saying, I'm bringing something new. And that's why my disciples don't fast like you fast. It's not that fasting is unimportant. It's this is a new thing. And some may even argue that Jesus was bringing not a religion at all. But what Jesus was bringing was a reconciliation of a relationship. And for those of us, and for those of some of us who may not know what Christianity is, it's not religion as defined as a system to reach God. You catch that? Christianity is not a religion when religion is defined as a system to reach God. But it's a decision to have a relationship with God. And a lot of times it's harder to have a genuine relationship than to just follow a system. Right? It's easy to relate to people with rules, regulations. It's easier to relate to a computer than to an actual person. Because relating with people sometimes can get messy. In fact, I think that's why there's so much isolation these days. Because relating with people is hard. I think that's why there's so much promiscuousness. I'm not saying that right.
Promiscuity
these days. It's easy to just have sex and run, rather than have a relationship. What God meant to have sex for, in a covenant relationship. That's why it's easy to just have religion rather than a relationship with Jesus. Now let me ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? What does that look like? If your relationship with Jesus is simply going to church, praying, reading the Bible, there's more to it than that. And that's what Jesus was saying. Because the Pharisees, they were doing the same thing, weren't they? They were going to synagogue, they were praying, they were reading scripture. And Jesus is saying, I'm bringing you more than that. I'm bringing you more than just pious religious code and conduct. I'm giving you an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And actually, what's interesting is, the Pharisees are asking, why aren't you fasting? And Jesus is like, well, God is right here, physically, in your midst. So let me ask you again. What is your relationship with God like? Do you have one? Or do you have religion? Now, religion isn't bad. But if that's all you have, you're missing out on what Jesus came to give. He came to give a new covenant. A new covenant, a contract, which has, I don't want to say nothing to do with new codes or conduct, but it's a contract of a relationship. And in a relationship, there are certain relational boundaries. Right? My wife just left, so I could talk freely now. No, I'm just kidding. Relationally, my wife and I, we have a contract, a covenant. We're married. You know, we signed it. It's sealed, and this is forever. But it's not like I made her sign a contract saying, you have to do the dishes, you have to make me food, you have to do my laundry, you have to do this, and that. And if you break it, then our whole contract of marriage is broken. But there are certain things I don't do, and there are certain things she don't do. She don't do. That's right, I'm from LA. Going back to I'm remembering my high school days. But certain things we just do and don't do, not because we've signed that contract, but because we love each other. We have a relationship. I don't want to hurt her relationally. And so with God, in the same way, yes, there are certain things we stay away from. Now, even Scripture says all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And so there are certain things I don't do, don't partake in. And it's not necessarily like, oh, if I do these things, then God's going to divorce me. It's like, if I do these things, I'll hurt God. I'll hurt my relationship with Him. And that's what Jesus brings. And one of the first things He brings is a new covenant, a contract, a relational one. 2,000 years ago, God started something new, and He's not saying, I'm going to patch up Judaism, I'm going to patch up this Jewish religion. And He's not even saying, I'm going to patch up your life. He's saying, I'm going to give you a new life. Let me ask you, are you new wineskin? Or are you asking God to patch up your life? Because God can give you a life, a brand new life. We started here and we'll continue it for eternity in heaven and enjoy it in heaven. Amen. Amen. I can't wait for that day when my knees don't hurt every time I get up. Now, let me ask you another question. Is your understanding of Christianity a system of belief, or a code of moral conduct, or a relationship with Jesus? Again, I ask that. Because one of the things Jesus talks about when, in the last days, unfortunately, people are going to come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not do this and that in your name? And Jesus will turn to them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. What's the key phrase there? I never knew you. We never had a real conversation. We never spent time together. Sure you know my name. Sure you know some doctrines. Sure you went to church. Sure, you sang some songs. Sure, you read a book about me. But we never got to sit down and talk. And that's all I wanted to do, is get to know you. Do you know Jesus that way? You can. You absolutely can. That's what Jesus is talking about. He gives another parable in Luke 5:37. He says, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined." And so the first aspect about new wine is being new wineskin. New wineskin is coming under God's new covenant. And it's a relational covenant, not a code or conduct or system, but relationally coming into knowing Jesus. And once we come into knowing Jesus, he says, you're new wineskin. And once you're new wineskin, I want to give you new wine. And of course, the new wine, I already said this, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not be poured into your life unless you come into a relationship with Jesus. Because, not because you have to earn it, not because you produce it when you become new wineskin. It's because he says, it'll hurt you. It'll absolutely destroy you. And that's why I won't pour it in. Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." I have a lot of questions, I guess, for you today. Since you're not in school, I guess you can have questions here, homework from here. But are you filled with new wine then? If you have a relationship with Jesus, do you confidently say, "I'm filled with this new wine that Jesus is talking about"? Now, if you read the book, the Bible, certainly, strange things have happened. Now, I'm not looking for strangeness. Although, if it happens, it happens. I'm not looking for that. I am looking for some sign. Is that okay? Some evidence that there is new wine in you, in me. Have you ever felt that new wine? Now, I'm not, I don't want to get too big on feelings, because feelings scare people. But there is feeling involved. It's not just intellectual. It's not just hypothetical. When you are filled, I'll go out on a limb and say there is actually a difference when you're not filled. Are you filled? Have you ever asked to be filled? That's a good thing. That's a good place to start. Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you never asked, Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive." You do not have because you have not asked. It doesn't have to look crazy. But I do believe there will be a change. And just keep on asking. Because in Ephesians 5:18, Paul is talking to saints, saying, "Hey, don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled." Assuming that you can be unfilled. Make sense? So if some Christians believe once you are saved, then you are automatically filled, not necessarily the case. Once you are saved, yes, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, but there's a difference between being sealed and being filled. Now, what's that difference for those of you who have been filled? Come on. Somebody. Someone's been filled before. Okay. No? Alright, good. Let's move on then. No, is there anyone who's been filled and said, ooh, that's different?
Not everybody is a feeling person.
Not everyone's a feeling person. Okay.
We are filled when we become Christians. However, you're right, we have to keep continually being filled.
Okay, good. Okay, Matt.
Are we talking about, like, reference about, like, when prayer and the Holy Spirit takes over the body and it's just too much to feel? Like, we're talking about that kind of thing?
That could be the case, too. I'm not looking for a specific answer, but just to give you my own experience, there is just, it's just easier to talk about God. Have you had that before? Where it's just easier to talk about your faith. And you don't care what people think. It's kind of like being drunk, like, right? When you're drunk, it's easier to say what you want to say. And you don't care what people think.
Yeah,
as you get older, your internal talk becomes more external. Yeah, I get that. Gordon, good to see you, brother.
Good to see you. Well, in answer to your question, I would say, although I don't speak in tongues, I believe I feel there's a love and a peace and joy that just comes
from
my
head. Yeah, good. Love, peace, joy, that's a good, I mean, I'm not, again, I don't want to emphasize feeling because I know how people get scared about emphasis on feeling, but there is peace. That is an emotion. There is joy. There is love. Supernaturally. Not of yourself. Even in adverse circumstances, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a promise of peace. You've had that before? A promise of joy, even when things aren't going well. Those are important things to have, aren't they? Especially in stressful situations. The way you could compound a mistake in your life is in stressful situations, letting that stress take over. You'll make some bad decisions. But being filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, it does give you a supernatural peace to continue to do the things that God has called you to do. A joy, a love, a patience. I'm getting into the fruit of the Spirit now, a faithfulness, a goodness, a kindness. Even when, no more interactions, sorry. I'll get you after service. New wine comes with new wineskin. Saying in a relationship with Jesus, as you ask for Him to fill you with His Spirit, there will be a transformation. There's a peace available for you, a joy available for you, a love available for you in any circumstance. And sure, there are other supernatural gifts, and we see that in the Bible, available for us as His children. As we go on in Luke 5:34-35, going back to the beginning, it says, Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast." He's talking about an analogy that Jesus is the bride and the church as the bridegroom. And one day they will come together. One day they will come together. If you remember communion again, in Luke, when they do communion, Jesus says something interesting. He says, when he gives the wine, he says, "For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And I believe he meant when it fully is realized. When it fully comes, Jesus will enjoy a new wine. a wedding feast banquet type of wine. Meaning this, one day there will be an eternal reunion of the bride and the bridegroom where we will enjoy the finest wine. And again, the finest wine speaks of celebration and not intoxication. When I was younger, and I'll finish with this. When I was younger, I didn't look forward to heaven as I do now. I don't know why. I think maybe it's just spiritual maturity. I didn't look forward to heaven as I do now. Do you look forward to heaven? There our hope should be in the new wine. Now again, I'm not talking about intoxication, but a celebration to be joined together with God again. Now let me tell you, as I look in, no, some of you are closer than others. but is there an anticipation for that celebration? One of the promises that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that we will enjoy our resurrected body in heaven and enjoy what will seem like an eternal celebration with God. Isn't that amazing? Now think about that for a second. Isn't that pretty amazing that God is preparing a wedding feast like celebration for you? For us. My prayer is you will put your hope in that more than anything. More than becoming a sports star, more than becoming rich, more than becoming famous, having a family. More than anything, that your hope will be in the eternal celebration we will enjoy with God in heaven. May your hope be there, because if it's there, it will never be shaken. It will not be moved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to establish a new covenant, a relational covenant. And even now, Lord, for those of us who need to take that step into knowing you, Jesus, I pray that you would prompt that, you would set that up, Lord. I also thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that you freely give to all who ask. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us. Fill us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. And finally, I ask, Lord, that you would give us an eternal perspective on life, and that our hope will be in heaven, in your second coming, in your making all things new. We thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.